Well, hello, friends. It's Dr. Missy Clifton here. I am so excited about today's special episode of All Things Skin. We are welcoming local celebrity and Razorback basketball first lady, Danielle Musselman. Danielle, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thank you for having me. I don't know if I'm a little uncomfortable with those titles, but that's what everyone says.
But it's the
first
truth.
First lady, that's a lot, right?
You know what? You do it beautifully.
Thank you. I mean,
beautiful face. Beautiful personality. Everyone loves you. You're just the perfect representative for Arkansas.
Thank you.
We're so thankful to have you.
That.
We really are. Oh, it was so great. We actually met pretty early, right before you guys really got started here. You came
yes.
and you were a speaker for the Cancer Challenge of Northwest Arkansas. I'm on the board there.
Yes.
And you were a speaker. So I got to actually meet you at the VIP that night.
Yeah, it was literally the first, I think I had come into town either that day or the night before.
Yeah. So that was really cool. I was so excited to get to meet you and learn so much about you. And we really bonded because we're both very busy.
Yes.
Moms.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Have our own careers and things going and very busy in the community. So it was so great to get to meet you and great to continue to be friends.
I know. Well, I totally remember you telling me what you did, and I saw your beautiful, perfect face, and I said, I need your phone number.
Well, you're precious. You're precious. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for that. And just so glad to have you here in Northwest Arkansas. So I think for this episode, we really just want to get to know you. You know, we know your beautiful face. We know what you guys have brought to Razorback basketball in Northwest Arkansas, but a lot of people don't just really know who is Danielle Musselman. So let's start with the basics.
I'm all about it.
All right. So where are you from?
I was born in St. Louis, and then my dad worked for Ford, and so I spent my childhood moving around a lot, but I did go to high school in Atlanta, and that's where my family still lives. So I say that I'm from Atlanta. I was not born there, but that's kind of like home base.
Gotcha. So you still have quite a bit of family there?
Not a whole lot. My mom and my brother and sister still live there, but, you know, that's the number one place that I'm going to
gotcha.
Visit. Yeah.
That's home base on holidays and things like that.
Yes.
So how did you develop a love of sports?
You know what? My dad was a huge sports fan, and I grew up with him taking me to everything. Like, he loved live sporting events, so I really grew up going to those things, and then I grew up an athlete. So between the two of those, and then I went to Florida State whenever the Seminoles were, like, in their heyday with college football, and I just, you know, continued to just fall in love with everything sports. I can't remember a time when sports was not a big part of my life.
Got it. So personally, tell us about what sports you played and what you were really into.
Yeah, I played basketball, I played softball, and I ran track. Those are the three I kind of settled on. You know, like any kid, I think I tried everything growing up. I remember playing tennis and horseback riding and doing different things. But those are the three that I settled on and played throughout high school. It's hard nowadays for kids to play more than one sport because it's crazy. You know, one thing takes up so much time. And so, like, my daughter's 12 and she already is kind of locked in on being a competitive dancer.
Right.
And she doesn't have time to do anything else.
It's true. It's yeah. true. And, you know, the schools in Northwest Arkansas are really competitive athletically.
Yes.
So a lot of kids really do. They have to sort of focus on the one thing that they really want to get really good at.
Yeah.
In order to really excel or be a part of the high school teams. Even.
Totally.
It's really kind of an interesting phenomenon. Well, you have a very decorated resume as a sports reporter, my dear. ESPN, Fox Sports, Yahoo Sports, NFL Network. Wow.
That's crazy.
That's insanity. So tell me some of your favorite moments. Tell me some of those things that were so great about that career.
Well, for one, I started in a small market. My first on-air job was in Macon, Georgia, like covering high school football and stuff like that. You know, I really started out at the bottom and I knew I always wanted to be, on the national level. And so my first national job was at ESPN. So getting that phone call and that whole audition process is just, it's something that I'll never forget. You know, it's kind of like, I've made it. And I was 26, which now many, many years later, I'm like, I cannot believe that, you know, I accomplished that at that age. But I moved all around. But my favorite, I spent most of my time in the studio, like as an anchor, but some jobs I was able to go out and be in the field. And that those are my favorite moments. I mean, I was at a Super Bowl on the field whenever wow. all of the, you know, the confetti was coming down, and just those moments. I was at a national championship for football. So,
cool.
Yeah, those are my favorite moments. And that's about the only thing that I really miss a lot are those big, huge moments.
Yeah. Oh, I can only imagine. So exciting. I mean, it's so exciting for us just to sit and watch it on TV.
Yeah.
To actually be there would be super cool. Super cool. So here's another kind of obvious question. How did you meet Eric?
Yeah, everyone asked this question. He was not working at the time. Everyone always says, were you interviewing him? And no, I was not interviewing him. He was not working. He wasn't working at the time. I was hosting a panel for sports and media in Los Angeles. My friend had put on this event, and I actually was like a fill-in. Someone else was supposed to do it and canceled. And so I ended up like literally 3 days before the event stepping in, filling in. And Eric was in the audience, and I met him. There was like a little reception afterwards, and I met him, and we talked. And it was funny. We were sitting down whenever we met each other. I had a little bit of a heel too. We all know I'm about an inch taller than him without heels. On heels that day, and we had already exchanged numbers. And I stood up. We stood up, and I was like, "I'm taller than you."
Wow! And
so I couldn't even stop my mouth.
First thing out of my mouth.
And he was like, "I don't care." So I was like, "Wow, okay."
I love it.
The rest is history.
A man with enough confidence. He doesn't care if you're a little taller. He thinks that's probably awesome.
Yes.
Well, you're absolutely gorgeous. So he was probably blown away already. So talk to us a little bit about the journey for you guys and the journey to Arkansas.
Yeah, I mean, and it is a journey. So many people kind of see where we are now and don't realize what led up to that. And so I honestly, it's something that I like to talk about because I remember so many times, you know, where the job wasn't there, where the doors were closed, where people said no. And it wasn't just, you know, a hard month or two. It was for years. Like I said, whenever I met him, he had taken a break because he had been fired from the Sacramento Kings and he was really burnt out, and he had not gotten to spend a lot of time with my two stepsons. And so he really wanted to take a break. And then we ended up meeting, and then we got married, and we had Mariah. And when she was a baby, he was like, I got to get back into work. Like, it's time. And it wasn't as easy as he thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And at first he was really trying to be an NBA assistant, and that just wasn't happening. And then he ended up getting into it's now called the G League. It was called the D League, but it's the NBA minor league.
Okay.
And those seasons were literally 6 months. So we would move for 6 months, and then we would go back to the Bay Area, and then we ended up going to another city for 6 months. And this is all, I was still working at the time in Los Angeles.
With a baby.
With a baby. So our life was madness. It was complete madness. We were like in and out of town all around. And then he did really well there, still didn't get the job he was looking for. And Arizona State was looking for an assistant with NBA experience, and he had been kind of thinking about college coaching for years, and just the right opportunity hadn't presented itself. So he ended up going to Arizona State, and we were there for 2 years. And I remember, I think he interviewed for probably five different head coaching jobs, didn't get any of them.
Really?
And he was ready to just say, like, forget it, because people really at that time didn't value his MBA background. They were kind of like, you've only been in college for a couple years. We don't know if you can recruit. We don't know if you can do, you know, this, that, and the other. Yeah,
so
it's crazy.
So thankful that they turned him down.
I know.
I'm so thankful.
Yeah. So finally, he ended up going to LSU. I said, let's give it one more shot. And then he was hired at University of Nevada and was very successful there. And then that's how we ended up here, University of Arkansas.
Well, it's so interesting to hear that and to think that he wasn't always a college coach. He's just such a natural, and the kids love him. I have a nephew that's in college, and my oldest daughter is college age. She's not at U of A, but she has a ton of friends that are at U of A. And the impact you guys have had on those kids and on that campus, it's everybody's just on fire for the Razorbacks. Yeah. And, you know, I think it's the coaches across the board right now. We have great coaching staff in really every sport.
Oh, it's an amazing thing to be a part of. I've never seen anything like it. Yeah. It's incredible.
Well, Eric does a beautiful job. You know, I love watching him. He's just so animated. He's so into it. I love seeing him in the locker room. Oh my God. How can you not love that guy? I mean, it's just great. So tell me what you like to do when you're not calling the Hawks.
Oh my goodness. Honestly, it's become now that, we don't go out to eat a lot. We don't do a lot because people are really excited to see Eric whenever we go out.
And
sometimes me, but way more Eric. And so honestly, it's just kind of easier to chill at home, you know, and the majority of the time we've been here has been COVID. We moved here the summer of 2019 and then COVID hit. And then, you know, you're really in your house. We used to be like huge movie lovers. We would go to the movies almost every week, and that hasn't happened in years. But we do like to travel. I just got back from a girls trip in Austin and, you know, he can't always leave and do everything. And so I'm not afraid to go out and either go by myself or go somewhere with Mariah and do that. And then we as a family like to travel whenever we can.
Yeah.
So that's what we love whenever we have some downtime. Yeah.
Well, it's probably kind of refreshing. I mean, I know how busy you guys are, and it's a lot. It's pretty taxing, I would think, to be in the public eye as much as you guys are. So just to be able to be home and decompress.
Yes. It's my favorite. My favorite time is getting in the bed and we watch Netflix or whatever we're watching together. It's kind of like our date night.
I love it.
But I love it so much.
That's awesome. So I know that you are very, very involved in lots of community things. Tell me, I know you've been so active since you got here. Tell me some of the things that you're really involved in and some of the organizations that are near and dear to your heart.
Yeah, there are so many because it's hard for me to say no. You know, you hear everyone has a cause and they're also worthy.
Right.
But the big ones, I've been working with American Cancer Society for years. And they came to me and they said they really wanted to start a gala here. And so we did it last year, and that's going to be an annual thing. That's a Suits and Sneakers gala in October. And then I joined the UAMS Cancer Institute board, about 4 or 5 months ago, and I just emceed a walk for them in May. That was incredible. I am on the Make-A-Wish board, which I was on the board in Reno, the Make-A-Wish board, and they kind of connected me. And that was actually my first thing that I joined because they made that connection and I jumped on really quick. And then I also recently joined the New Beginnings board, which I don't know if you're familiar with that. I did not realize that there was a homeless issue in Northwest Arkansas.
Isn't it crazy to think about?
And you wouldn't know unless you know. And friends of mine who are involved in this project said, we really want you to kind of understand what's going on. And they took me out to the campsite where people are living in tents. And they said, this is how we are attacking and transitioning these people to get to a better, more successful place. And so the New Beginnings Housing Project is, it's like tiny homes and it's kind of like a bridge. And so they get these people into these homes, they're able to live there, get back on their feet, you know, help. A lot of them don't have driver's license, birth certificates, like the things that they even need to get a job. So they have people that work with them and help them to get to a place where they can then move in to a place on their own. And so,
fantastic.
Yeah.
And I've never even heard of this.
Yeah.
Daniel.
I know. It just opened recently. So it's not something that's been around for years. It's just in maybe the past 6 months, it's really open. But it's something we're taking our team there to help out, to cook dinner and plant flowers and do that kind of stuff. It's just something that I want more people to be aware of.
I love it.
Yeah,
well, Premier Dermatology will be helping to embrace that. We love to do team building exercises and do something good for the community as well. So
yeah, no, it's a
that
good spot.
Is going to be on my list.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for letting us know. So anything else that
I haven't really covered about you or about things you guys are passionate about that you want me to cover at this point before we go on to the next episode.
To the other stuff? I don't think so. I mean, we have, you know, I have two stepsons. Eric was married before. We were an interracial family. I think that I love being different, part of a family that doesn't necessarily look like everyone else, to make people who also have a family that doesn't necessarily look like everyone else have someone to like look at and say, you know what, being different is okay.
Absolutely.
And I kind of hear that feedback a lot. It's not something that crosses my mind all the time because it's just, you know, my family and I love them so much. But I just do think there's often so many people that aren't, you know, that are outside of the norm for whatever reason that it might be.
Right.
And I just want to kind of encourage them to
embrace that. Yeah, because it's clearly okay and it's clearly fabulous.
Yeah.
And it's so, honestly, so awesome when you can bring different cultures and different backgrounds together in a family.
Yeah.
You can teach kids a whole lot by learning diversity in that regard.
Totally. Yeah.
Well, Danielle, you know I adore you. I'm just so thankful for you joining me today. And listeners, next up, we are actually going to be talking about skin on All Things Skin. We'll be discussing Danielle's intro into Premier and her personal skincare regimen and her favorite treatments. I'll also be giving you some of my expert advice for anyone with skin of color, what to do, what not to do. So thank you all so much for joining us today, and please tune in for the next episode of All Things Skin.